okay, guys, you get to go traveling back in time or forward in time. That doesn't matter. What really matters is who do you take with you on your time traveling adventure? Answers.
I will take Steven Zarita, who had a sex change, because then he can do karate to protect me from any danger, but also I can have sex.
I'm a little uncomfortable, James.
I'm going to go with Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show, because the whole thing is, you know, he did the time warp, and I want to see if he actually knows how to time travel, even with like a DeLorean, or if that's like too much for him. That and also sex, because I hear he's great at it.
Ryan?
Steven, I'm going to go with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because he's my co-pilot in all things.
Oh, boom.
Not just time
travel.
That's traveling.
A point.
Hey, Steven.
I'm sorry, my friend James is like a heathen.
Yes, Michael.
It's Michael.
Yeah.
Your cousin?
Uh-huh.
Michael Berry. You know that new sound you've been looking for?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Hey everyone, and welcome to From Under a Rock, the podcast where we sit around, watch movies, and tell our friends that they're dicks for not having seen them yet.
I wish you wouldn't list sit around as the number one thing we do.
I think the movie is secondary to sitting around. This is primarily a cushion review podcast.
That's kind of how Michael just describes everything he does in life.
It's like, well, I sat around, and then...
Ryan, what's this podcast really about?
I mean, I pretty much nailed it.
It's the podcast where we watch movies that one or more of us has not seen by now that they should have, bringing them out from under the proverbial rock.
This well said.
And question, do we stand while watching these movies?
No, we don't.
We do what?
We sit, I wouldn't say that.
We sit around. I would say we sit.
We sit around the television.
We sit at attention.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah,
I was standing for some of this movie. The movie we watched this week is Back to the Future. By the way, a now 30-year-old movie, but before we go into our review of that, let's see who's at the table today. I'm Steven Zarita.
I'm Michael Ornelas.
Who's that? Oh, I'm James McNally, a.k.a. McDoodles.
And I'm Ryan Evans. The usual crew.
Yeah.
We have zero special guests this week, but four very special people.
Thanks.
I see three special faces.
Wait, here. We do have a special guest here. It looks like it's... Richard Nixon.
I am not a guest.
Sorry, he was just passing.
And he's gone.
He just walked off.
I just had to use the John.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Back to the Future.
Yeah, this is closing out our cycle of all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Even though it's not Steven's all-time
Nor did James get his all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Well, I know, James, we watched your all-time favorite before, and mine is planned for later this year. This is like my second favorite series of movies. Only one above this is Star Wars. But yeah, we watched Back to the Future. This came out in 1985, and when people think of time travel movies, I think most people think of this one. It's the most referenced in pop culture, I think.
It is very referenced.
I mean, people get really excited. I mean, okay, this is why you should have seen this movie. Every month I see a meme on Facebook that is, today's the day Marty McFly went back to the future, when it's really not, but like it's still getting referenced so much 30 years later. And by the way, there's a blog that...
It's the BuzzFeed generation, yeah, where people just blindly share.
There's a blog,
like,
though, that uploads a picture every day of that date on the time machine layout, so people can see that and think it's today, be like, oh, it's today! but
it's not.
It's not. So you're wrong. James, when you make the thumbnail, write that today's the day that... No, it's not.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
I'm not taking credit for the BuzzFeed generation thing, by the way. I didn't come up with
that. I don't
think
anyone attributed it to you.
I don't think anybody wants to be a part of that generation.
No, the
coining of the term.
The term.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My roommate came up with that.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
That's very honest of you. So I guess speaking of honesty, we'd all actually seen this movie before, but the backstory is the whole reason this podcast exists is because about over a year ago. How many months ago?
Oh yeah, this is an episode. What is it? 40, 39?
This is like 40. This is 40.
This is 40. This is an episode 40.
No, we haven't watched This Is 40 yet. That'll be a future pick of mine.
This is episode origin.
Whoa.
Because Michael hadn't seen Back to the Future.
I hadn't.
This is the prequel.
And we said, you have to see these movies. We practically said, what, have you been living under a rock? But probably not.
And we watched all three movies like in 3 days.
And then we thought about other movies that we hadn't seen as a group.
And we were like, we can make a podcast out of this. But yeah. Back to the Future is the whole inspiration for this entire podcast. And so, it's because I hadn't seen it.
So, and then this is only the second time you've seen this movie.
Only the second time.
So,
guys, if we were doing a prequel podcast episode, what would that sound like? If we could just divulge in my fantasy for a second.
Someone would have to explain to me what a movie is. Like a
prequel podcast?
Hey, guys, I'm Fresh Faced Ryan, ready to do a podcast. Good to meet you all.
I'm Marty McDoodles. No symbolism behind that name whatsoever.
No, the movie we just watched had a guy named Marty in it. You're gonna have to come up with a different name.
I'll just drop the Marty. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
So what do we watch today, guys? Oh, we're still going around the table, aren't we?
What?
No.
Are we still in the past?
I don't know.
Guys, these alternate timelines are hurting my head.
Okay.
Can we just get back to the feature?
Unlike.
Michael, you get a point. It's worth noting that we award points based on discussion, and those points determine who picks the movie next week. So, Michael, you're starting off with a point.
Also worth noting is that a great amount of points are awarded in the challenge. The challenge is at the end of the podcast.
It's a reflex. It's like when you really go to the doctor and they tap on your knee, it's like just, I hear the word challenge.
Especially like in your voice, I feel like, you know, you say challenge and everybody goes, challenge, challenge.
No, I was at work the other day and one of my coworkers was like, I challenge you to do something. And before we even finished talking, I was like, challenge, challenge, challenge. Shut up. What's that from?
They were like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Do we need to call some professionals?
All right. So, Michael, this is only the second time you've seen this movie. And I've always thought this movie is really good with repeat viewings because there's so much setup and payoff. You can't really catch it all the first viewing. I mean, would you agree your second time through, did you notice a lot more like, oh, they mentioned this in 85 and then it plays off when
I'm
it goes.
I'm actually a pretty thorough first time watcher.
Oh, so you caught everything there is.
No, I caught all the same things that I caught this time. And then there's still probably a bunch I missed.
No. Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, I've been watching this movie for a while and I thought I had caught everything. I mean, there's bits like, oh, Jailbird Joey is mentioned, and then you see Jailbird Joey as a kid in a baby cage. What do they call those? Crib.
But baby cage?
Yeah.
Baby prison, you know.
Baby prison. I'm going to tell my wife one day.
He's like pushing put him in the cage. Stuffed animals like on a dumbbell, and he's like, I'm doing our time.
there's specific lines that are echoed from 85 to 55. The entire clock tower premise is like a one-off line where this woman like shakes a can in Marty's face and was like, save the clock tower at 10:04 p.m. on 1955, such and such lightning bolt. And then in the past they have to catch that lightning bolt. And I mean,
first he's just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is an annoying lady. Get rid of her. And you're like, oh no, that's crucial to the plot. Like there's almost no wasted details in this movie. I mean, what have you guys picked up on?
There's all kinds of that stuff. Even when you sort of discovered in the middle of watching the movie where apparently you can see future Marty in the background at the shootout at the Lone Pines Mall.
The thing that had you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, let me talk about that because, like I said, I thought I'd picked up on everything in this movie, but then I was looking at some blogs about this movie. And Sean Robert of the Brandon in the 80s blog has an interesting theory called the other Marty McFly theorem. And it's something I'd kind of thought about because at the
theorem,
end of, theorem.
Sounds professional.
Because at the end of the movie, the Marty we've watched the entire movie comes, tries to save Doc, but he's too late, even though he gave himself 10 minutes. But he sees another Marty, you know, go back to 1955 as he did, you know, like an hour and a half earlier. And then the whole theorem is about like, well, that's a different Marty because that's the Marty who grew up where his parents actually fell in love because his dad actually knocked out Biff. And there's all this stuff. But Sean mentions in his blog, if you go back to that first scene on the mall parking lot and look in the background, you can see another Marty off in the distance. It's really just a silhouette. It's not concrete that it's him, but it's in the right spot.
Well, that would also imply that that Doc Brown had a bulletproof vest on at that time.
Maybe.
See, I have a problem with this theory because if we watch later movies in the series, specifically the second one, you see that whenever they travel around in time, they go to
Old West.
This is kind of getting into the time travel theory that Back to the Future subscribes to. And it's not a very complicated one, but the one that they chose to go with is that whenever you travel in time, you are going to an alternate dimension, but you occupy the same space that your counterpart would have.
As close as possible.
And so there are... And it's stuff like that where Doc would have been having to pretend not to know Marty for, you know,
however many years they've been friends.
Right. Probably not that long, actually. Probably just
probably like three.
Like one or two. Right? Yeah.
When would it be okay for him to be hanging out with Doc Brown?
And wearing like the bulletproof vest and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's... I don't know.
It's open-ended.
It's an interesting idea. Anyway.
Yeah.
And there is definitely something there in the background.
You should check out that blog post.
It's a PA.
It's not like the dude hanging himself in the background of Wizard of Oz, though.
Is that a... Oh, yeah. Can you actually see that guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to rewatch that movie.
I mean, I think it's been debunked, but I mean...
But yeah, there's, as you were saying, there's all kinds of amazing little details that they give you in the exhibition, and it just goes to show the power of this script, where it's all played off as
that's
just
the power of the script.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ryan and James,
guys,
you get a point.
I'm on the back of a truck. this is the only way I know how to travel.
Ryan and James, you get a point. Ryan for the setup, and James for going with that song.
I mean, there's a shot right at the beginning, the opening shot, actually, where they're going through all of the clocks and stuff, and if you look carefully, there's actually a clock where somebody's hanging off one of the hands.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's
is
a
that
nice,
right?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a nice,
whoa, so,
a nice
maybe,
little,
so maybe this
hint.
Has happened, like you were suggesting, and he's going to wear the bulletproof vest, and the reason he has that hanging
clock.
On the clock is because he lived that 30 years ago.
Hmm.
Maybe. But then you would think that he would... like know Marty and would have talked to him about
yeah that's what
it,
I'm
know?
Saying has he been pretending not to know him this whole time
that he might have I mean considering like his whole thing with this the time continuum and everything
they never really hint at that in future movies but yeah I was going to compare this to a movie we watched rather recently Shaun of the Dead. We talked about the whole exhibition of that movie and how Shaun goes through his morning routine twice basically and it turns out that all these mundane details that you see from the first go through were actually set up to a larger joke or you know when everything goes to hell in the second run through. And Back to the Future is much the same way.
I think this movie is actually pretty heavily influenced by Shaun of the Dead.
through time travel
they saw Shaun of the Dead and they're like, oh, we gotta jump on that before they come out, so 1985 is the time to do it.
They DeLoreaned back.
Yeah.
Unlike Marty, who just went back 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They went back
30 years.
20 years.
Yeah. 20 years? 19 years? I don't know.
Well, we were talking about how, Stephen, we were talking about how, like, in terms of pacing, this movie, I would say, is like almost perfect.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
Sorry, just guitar.
No, I mean, like, if you want to punctuate my statements
with
that,
that's
fine.
I was trying to, like, to the beat of your talking.
Well, it does have those great musical cues, too.
Yeah.
There's only two,
musical
but they're
cues
great.
Aside, like, just, like, the way that plot elements are, you know, revealed, and, like you were saying, at first it seems like they're not inconsequential, when really they become a crucial part of the plot later on. And just the way that the plot develops with Marty... Oh, hi. Is there, with Marty, like, sorry, I'm trying to do multiple things at once, and it's very difficult.
Okay, we're live streaming this, and James is pointing the camera at me while he talks, and I'm telling him, show yourself, you're talking.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just like, show everybody. I was like, here you go.
Okay, back to your point.
I don't know. I was just like generalizing, but essentially, it's a plot that moves forward at a pace that is nice and easy to digest. Everything seems to happen when it should. All of the conflicts are brought about early on, and you see them develop, and you're never like really exhausted or feel like you're, you know, like, oh, come on, let's hurry this up. Yeah. Like it moves at a proper pace that I think a movie should.
We stopped, you know, when they bring the DeLorean to the square, it's under a bunch of covers, but you know, oh, that's where, you know, the clock tower scene is going to happen. And we're like, oh, wait, the Enchantment Under the Sea dance scene is coming up. That's like the third act. We're like already almost through this movie because it's paced so well and every scene is important and just keeps you moving towards that ending.
Yeah. Well, each scene furthers, it was like script writing 101, but it's like each scene furthers plot and character at the same time rather than like sacrificing one for the other.
Right.
And I feel like that's something that, you know, a really good movie does well.
Yeah. I think the best screenplays have their individual, you know, not only do they follow an act structure, mm-hmm. beginning, middle, and end structure, but each individual scene does the same thing where they set up stakes early on in the scene, and it could be anything, you know, it could be very small stakes relative to the scene, such as
opening a Pepsi bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Or, well, I don't think that was the stakes of the
scene.
Marty
is
George,
like,
George has to find Marty to tell him about Darth Vader from Planet Vulcan, and that the stakes are George has to convince Marty to help him get Lorraine, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Or where Marty is talking with George about, like, oh yeah, she totally wants to go out to the dance with, like, in the cafeteria, mm-hmm. and it's like, I think it's a problem. And it's like everything, like what normally seems like a mundane scene, like you get so much information crammed into it.
In addition,
but it doesn't feel expositional.
Because they not only is it's not just two characters talking about what they need to do.
Things are happening, little
stuff like Marty's having trouble opening this Pepsi bottle, and you know George comes in and helps him out dramatically. You know,
to contrast this with another movie that does that badly. It was the 10-year anniversary of Revenge of the Sith this week, and I watched that, and I was like, there are so many scenes where these Jedi are just walking and talking. Sitting and talking, or standing and talking, and you're just being told, oh, the Emperor's a bad man, Anakin. And this movie, people are like, you know, they're about to get into fights, and then the principal has to step in, or someone's late for school, or Doc Brown's invention's not working.
Before they even started writing, they were like, what happens in a high school every day?
Yeah.
Now, how can we
Marty
work these
just
into?
Inserts into that, and he just...
It's just like, what can we have going on in the background that like helps not make this boring and like everybody can be a part of?
I think it goes to show how rushed a lot of movies are nowadays, to where you don't get those details mm-hmm. because it's all about just getting things out the fastest that you can.
To maybe get to the big action scene where there's that.
Yeah, you're just clubbed over the head with
exposition. And here it's like,
that.
Oh, we're going to have all this time. Okay, we'll have this going on in the background. We're going to prep all these details. We have the time to put it into the script. Mm-hmm. We have the time to put mm-hmm. it into storyboarding. We have the time to like cast it and figure everything out. Yeah. Like you can just definitely tell that this was like a labor of love. The density of detail in
Destiny.
This movie...
You're my destiny.
Steven, you get a point.
The density of detail in this movie reminded me a lot of like Arrested Development.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing is wasted.
I mean, and the end result is just an extremely fun movie.
Well, I heard they ripped it off of Arrested Development, actually.
Yeah. But they went back in
time.
This
movie stole so many things and just did it first, chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying before, though, the ending result is just so fun because, I mean, there's like... It leads organically into great chase scenes around the town square in 1955. I mean, that's such an iconic scene, and the whole race to hit the lightning bolt at 88 miles per hour is an iconic scene, and the under the sea dance is an iconic scene. Like, if you're lucky, a movie gets one of those, and this has three
or four at least.
And then they echo those scenes in the sequels just because they're that good.
They're like, yeah, well, those scenes work, so why not put them
do them again. Well, and let's do them again for the third one, but they're in the Old West.
Hey, well,
they'll do
you
some
know.
Michael Jackson kicks, and there we go.
I do think it's also very interesting the pairing of the main characters. We kind of touched on it a little bit. This high school kid is somehow best friends with Doc Brown, this aging scientist, this failed aging scientist.
We don't need to know how or why. They just are.
Yeah, they just are. Marty goes and hangs at his house and plays on his giant guitar amp, and they call each other up, and it's everything's cool.
Have you guys seen, you know how you can recut movie trailers and make it look like a completely different movie, like Scary yeah. Mary did that with Mary Poppins.
The Shining
is like a fun fun family comedy. Someone cut together Back to the Future, I think just part three, but maybe all three movies, into a trailer for what looks like another what was that Heath Ledger
came? Brokeback Mountain.
And, like Brokeback Mountains, like Marty and Doc are in a gay relationship, and they and, like, my favorite part is what Marty storms in. If you remember the third movie, he storms into Doc and he goes, "Who the hell is Clara?
Clara, who the hell is Clara?"
And there's a lot of moments, you know, where they kind of look at each other and it's like, oh, they're best buds. Like they honestly do love each other yeah. at this mm-hmm. point. They're like, it's like, I think Doc might be more of a father figure than yeah. his actual father, because his father was a horrible, bumbling idiot. Yeah. yeah, and he never got to know
the
strong
being
father.
A little harsh. I mean, he was just a wimp. You know?
That's true, but right. Doc is
he
the constant.
An idiot.
Doc
is weak-willed.
Marty actually looks up to him, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Who the hell is Clara?
yeah, Christopher Lloyd is, or both of them, Michael J. Fox as well. But Christopher Lloyd is, and this character is just perfect for.
Can yeah. we just talk about how like great of a physical actor Christopher Lloyd is yeah. through this whole movie?
Honestly, I think Michael J. Fox is an even better like. I was blown away on this watch through with like how perfectly he acted. Almost every line, every
oh, yeah.
little bit of physicality. Yeah. Like that guy was the king of the 80s and should still be king. He is such
what the
a,
hell is a gigawatt? Along with Molly Ringwald, right?
Yeah. No, she
was also the king.
He is yes. No, but he was so spot on with like everything, every little detail. I didn't even see Michael J. Fox. I saw the character that he brought to life.
You know, two things. Originally, it wasn't going to be Michael J. Fox. They started filming with a different character, with a different
That's
actor.
True.
I forget his name. But you can see this footage, and it just feels so off, because we're so used to seeing Michael J. Fox as Marty. Well, there's no sound, because they didn't even...
Oh, okay.
They swapped him out so soon. But they filmed some scenes in 1985 with Claudia Wells, who plays his girlfriend, Jennifer. But then, you know, I think he got another shoot or something happened where he had to go to another project and they got
Michael
J. Fox.
Hey guys, I don't think this movie's going to take off, so.
Biggest mistake of that guy's
I got a
career.
Pepsi commercial.
this whole movie's a Pepsi commercial. You were talking about how great the actors are, and I want to reference one more blog.
Yes.
That Film Wizard from Carter Spilliards, and he talks specifically about how great these actors are. About Michael J. Fox specifically. Carter says, "I have never seen him surpass this, much like Matthew Broderick and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Christopher Lloyd goes all out. His zaniness is timeless. Great Scott is still one of the greatest exclamations in cinematic history." And it's just fun to say. I mean, like, they're recognized as these characters
from
now on.
Was this the origin of that exclamation?
Great Scott? I'm sure it had been around.
Yeah, I don't
think it was popularized.
This made it popular. Yeah.
I know I didn't pick this movie, but if I had, my challenge would have been
better.
What
than
would
yours,
be
Steven.
What would be your
better than yours, Steven?
What would be your exclamation if instead of Great Scott, what would be? Because
Great Edison,
Doc. Well, Doc says Great Scott, and Marty says this is heavy.
Yeah.
So everyone has to have their own personal.
Everyone's got to have a tagline,
like a catchphrase.
How
catchphrase.
Vulgar?
Just
can
like
we
a
be?
Something you. Say when you're surprised or something. Yeah.
You know what mine is.
What's that?
Crush pussy.
Oh.
All right. That's the
end
of the challenge.
I think that takes the cake.
That's the end of that challenge, I guess. Yeah.
Everyone, just go listen to the Magnolia podcast.
No, they don't need context.
I would love them to have context.
I don't know how to stop this crazy device.
Speaking of switching actors, though, Steven, mm-hmm. you said you had a story about the actress who plays Jennifer.
Claudia Wells plays his girlfriend, Marty's girlfriend, in this first movie. And she is played by a different actress in the second movie. So a lot of people are like, what's up with that? And the third movie. It's the second and third movie are one actress, and the first one's Claudia Wells. I actually met Claudia Wells at a convention in San Antonio, and one of the questions she answered was, why weren't you in the second and third movie? Was it like, did you not like the contract? Did you not like the script? Did you think it wasn't going anywhere? But she had actually very good answer, was her mom was sick, and she just needed to take care of her mom. I think her mom was... Oh. Possibly dying. It's been over a year, but like she's like, I can't do this movie. I have to spend time with my mother.
I feel really bad.
How dare you?
I'm not
you.
Laughing at that. I'm just laughing at something else.
Something else. But yeah, so that's the reason Claudia Wells. And, you know, they asked, like, do you regret not being in the second movie? And she said, no. I mean, family first. You know, I okay. wouldn't trade that for well, any cool. amount of movie
that's,
success.
That's admirable, actually.
A funny thing about that, though,
it's
is
stupid. Akbar.
It's stupid. She also said that, how many times have you seen this movie? Twice. Once,
really?
Once when it came out, once to show my son.
We're in the same
so
boat.
So you're in the same boat, Michael, as Claudia Wells. She says she's not that kind of person to watch movies multiple times. She watches it once, goes, that was good. Next movie. Eh, I get that.
I guess.
I think even people who are like that still make an exception for Back to the Future, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
Do you guys just want to replace me or something?
Claudia Wells, kinda. Do you want to be on our... No, she doesn't.
She's also only seen it twice. If you're going to trade me out for someone, do it with someone who's at least seen Back to the Future thrice.
I think that's fair.
It's called Back to the Future Part 3, not Back to the Future Thrice.
Thrice.
Back to the Future twice and thrice.
You just play it multiple times in the theater.
That's the power of love. Twice, thrice. Thrice.
Oh my gosh.
Anything else we wanted to hit on?
Huey Lewis.
I love the score by Alan Silvestri. I think
oh, absolutely, yeah.
I think it's the main super theme, iconic.
The main
super iconic.
You guys want to talk about...
The main theme is one of those instantly recognizable
ones. Oh, yeah. It's best at, one of the best in movie history.
You want to talk about the rape?
So, yeah.
We can talk about...
Because that was so uncomfortable to watch.
Do you need context for this one again, Michael?
So the scene...
That was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, that's like what Biff... That's what his motivation is.
He's but, like gonna, but you couldn't portray that in a movie now. Like the way they did.
And not what, be a family cleanly? Movie, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Like, well, in this movie, it's... You don't...
I think it was a little too intense for a Modern Family movie.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like...
Not that there is a Modern Family movie.
Back then, back in 1985, I bet you that scene was watched and got laughs.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, no, I'm sure time has changed that much.
I remember not thinking much of it.
It's a scary scene either way. Yeah. Even as a kid, when you can't really like grasp the concept of rape, it's still a very scary scene.
Yeah, like you know there's something wrong with the music and the way that like Biff is glowering at George.
But it's portrayed like in a slapstick way. It's like a slapstick rape scene.
I think it's slapstick out of the car. It is, not in the car.
I think it's not quite what you're making it out to be because in my mind, whenever I was a kid watching this, I'm just like, oh, he just wants... to make out with
he
her.
He wants to kiss her.
No, but there's a specific framing choice that they did that really was like, oh, they're making light
shot?
Of it. When George opens the car door and then it's like...
She's like her
it's
frilly skirt and her legs
and then,
are poking.
And then Biff pops up and then she like pops up almost comedically from like the bottom of the frame.
No.
Yeah, she's like, help me.
I read that as extremely desperate.
She says,
I
didn't... please help me in the most sincere
No, I'm not saying her delivery was comedic, but like the framing of it, it's traditional visual comedy, you know, something coming in and out of the frame like that.
I guess, but like...
I can kind of see where you're coming where it, like, she pokes... Yes, she does poke into frame.
Yeah.
But then also, I think they're using, like... She has a really frilly skirt. And you can only see, like, her calves and her feet. Like, everything else... That's covering all the horrible stuff that's happening on the other side of that skirt. Like, I think that's why.
Well, basically, I'm thinking... As I feel that, like, I guess rape culture has come a long way... In terms
Hold
of
on,
like,
is there a culture?
No, that's a term.
Please, okay.
That's the term.
I hope so.
No, yeah, but like we've come a long way in like acknowledging like, you know, we shouldn't be victim blaming and stuff like that. But like it wasn't even addressed back then. Like,
well, I kind of, I disagree
with
you about
that. Women were a lot
that.
More objectified to the point where like that's just like, oh, it's just a guy taking what he wants as opposed to that's a woman in that scene getting like, molested,
but he was a bad guy, and the hero comes in and saves her.
I know.
I disagree with you about that scene being comedic because every time I've seen that movie, it's like a scary scene, and it elicits that reaction out of me. But I can kind of see your point about the changes in rape culture, because later on in the movie, and I pointed this out while we were watching it, I said, how terrifying is it that George McFly in the alternate future, the beta timeline is what I'll call it, and it's what that that 80s guy calls it.
Also where he is more beta as a character.
Yeah. Biff, a.k.a. Lorraine's almost rapist, is just, you know, waxing the family car in the driveway and then, you know, walks into the
into
living
the
room
house.
And is like, oh, yeah. Mr. McFly, here's your book.
Get him out of here.
You know, yeah. They don't really acknowledge it.
Well, and then
maybe they didn't think to because it was a different time.
There's also the Peeping Tom scene. And that is completely played for comedy.
Well,
yeah, but
I think you could still play that for comedy, especially because he doesn't. It does, you know, they stop it from happening.
He's a
like
kid.
If they actually went through with it, it would be a totally different movie. And I guess you can. I mean, a lot of comedies still.
I mean,
do
he
that
looks
now.
Like a full-grown man, but he's supposed to be like 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, no, but here's the thing: comedies do it now, but they're not like lauded as good or acceptable. And this is lauded as like a classic. And I'm not saying that this is like hurting my view of it as a classic, but it is very dated in terms of.
I think they do that in like the American Pie movies. And those, I mean, those, one of them's like 16 years old.
I don't think people
old,
consider those good. They,
They're like a strange part of, I don't know. They have some status in film
they
history.
They have some cultural status.
You know, not near this movie.
Right.
But I mean, times
it's
have
like, what
changed,
do you mean
yes.
you haven't seen American Pie?
But I actually haven't. But I don't know. It's just, it's a thing that I start noticing more and more when I'm watching older things, and it bugs me.
I would say that, like, if anything, I've still got to argue with you. I would say that, like, that scene in particular is the one that stands out the most in terms of being thematically different than the others.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say that. Because the movie in and of itself is lighthearted and comedic, that scene not being part of those themes makes it not so.
Well, right, yeah, I'll play my own devil's advocate in that it makes George look that much stronger for finally standing up for himself.
I think that's mostly the point. Yeah,
but I feel that they could have had Lorraine be a little more competent and able to protect herself a little. I'm not saying like Rob George of his moment.
I mean, she kind
of
tries to like.
I guess she was portrayed as too helpless for me to be like.
She's honestly not that much of a character at all.
I know
that's true.
Know.
Yeah,
she is.
I mean, and she does do. I mean, she tries to leave, but he grabs her. He's clearly a much stronger man. Like this guy probably is the quarterback of the high school football team.
Well,
he's huge.
Her main character trait in the past is like being a flirtatious.
Yeah.
You know, person, and that's about it. So
yeah, there's a lot of analysis there.
There are no good female characters in this movie.
I mean, there's only one really.
Yeah,
There's really only
and then they
two characters in this movie.
Yeah,
she's absent for most of it.
There's only two real characters in this whole movie. Well,
George Marty. Is a big part of it.
Doc and Marty?
George has an arc.
Okay, no, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
George totally has an arc.
You're right. I would say George,
and then Lorraine's.
I think George has more screen time than Doc Brown.
Yeah, he does.
That's probably, very possible. Yeah.
At least equal, maybe. I don't know. Huh.
I actually thought that upon this viewing, just because we were kind of.
He's definitely the more important character of the two parents in this film. Because, I mean, the whole point of it is to get him to ask her out.
Right.
By the way, if you guys haven't seen it, you guys should look up Clowny Clown Clown.
Uh huh.
Is that with Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was trying to see the link.
It is a extremely disturbing music video that Crispin Glover made.
Okay.
Huh.
About clowns.
I wonder if I've seen this. Because I remember I'd seen like a video.
I don't know if I'm okay with that because clowns are terrifying.
No, this video is terrifying.
Oh, okay, so why would I watch it?
Just because
every once in a while you need a
good
scare.
Just to know exactly how weird Crispin Glover actually is.
Perfect.
All righty.
Just real quick, the other hot topic... emphasis on hot, the incestual relationship between.
Thanks for the pun.
Between Marty and his mother,
and then it gets to the point where it explodes,
also,
and then instantly becomes cool.
Which is played if the rape isn't played for comedy, the incest definitely is.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's one scene where it's kind of serious, where it's like, when I kissed you, it's like I'm kissing my brother.
I still think that's supposed to be comedic, though.
Yeah.
I think it depends on who you're with.
It's just our interpretation in 2015 is very different than how it was written because the way things are delivered.
I think that's supposed to be a funny line.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I'm like, ugh.
And I bet you probably laughed more when you were a kid without even knowing it. And then.
No. No, I didn't. No, I mean, I'd laugh at scenes like, and he can stay in my room. Like, that's hilarious. And like the whole like every time she's flirting with him, like at her family dinner table and her parents are like right there. Or like when she best,
they don't even
best,
notice,
her best part in the movie when she's at her locker and Marty comes, hey, Lorraine. And she just like falls back against her locker. Marty.
Calvin.
And then the janitor comes in and mops underneath her.
Just like, oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed a spot.
I think you lost. I don't know.
There's no context for that one, Michael. Okay. There's no way you're getting out of this.
Oh, she was pregnant in her water
bottle. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Of course.
Michael's like talking about rape culture very seriously like 10 minutes ago and then he makes that joke.
What's wrong with making a girl being horny joke?
Nothing, in my opinion.
Very different.
We need women on this podcast, guys.
I'll be the voice of women. It's okay. Ladies,
I
got your back.
I'm sure they appreciate it.
I'm sure they appreciate it.
I'm sure no one objects. All right.
Hey, yeah. I'm the one who's bringing up that the movie has weak female characters.
I mean, yeah.
I'm speaking for the ladies.
Steven, I kind of want to know more about why this is your favorite. What was your original viewing experience for this movie?
I mean, I remember watching it when I was like 9. And I think I'd seen, when I was 9, I think I might have seen the third one first. And it was one of those things I saw on TV. And I was like, oh, whoa, cool, a Western. But there's a time machine. I thought they had built a time machine in the Old West and gone to the, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I caught the second one. I was like, oh, they're flying. And then at some point around there, I'd seen the first one. But like the first time I visibly remember seeing it and being affected and why it's one of my favorites is when I was like 15 or 16, I caught it in its entirety. Like I finally caught the beginning of the movie on ABC. I think I DVR'd it. I was like, oh, I should finally see this whole thing. So I DVR'd it. It was just such a solid movie. And I had just gotten a car.
Really? That like at 16, 15?
Yeah.
Wow. Because, like, I remember watching it, like, my dad, like, sat me down when I was, like,
well, like, eight. I was telling you before, my parents were never very, like, y'all gotta see this movie, unless it was, like, Star Trek because of my dad. And I just got in a car, so I felt like I could, like, oh, Marty's driving a car, and I drive a car. I would, like, go on the highway and drive up to, I would, like, try and drive up to 88.
Baby Steven.
Where I'm going, I don't need roads.
Except I do. I really do.
16-year-old Steven. No, seriously, I kid you not. I have, like, and I started doing special effects around that time, and I love the special effects. I made, like, several movies where I'm driving around in my SUV, and I go to 88 miles an hour, and it explodes into time.
Nice.
It was fun. No, I just and then I went to the Universal ride shortly after that because I was looking at colleges and we came here to LA and I was like, this ride is amazing. Side note, the Simpsons ride is a horrible replacement. Back to the main conversation.
How do you really feel though?
About the Simpsons ride?
No, I'm kidding. You already made it clear.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I wrote that.
Surpass this one.
The Simpsons one.
Simpsons makes me dizzy.
Simpsons is so fake. but it's a cartoon.
We no longer review movies. We review Universal Studios rides.
Well, Universal, you missed out on this one. But it's just so... it was so captivating. It's like, it's an adventure movie. I mean, the second and third ones, I think even more, because they go to more outlandish settings. But this one, it deals with like... I mean, it's kind of the genesis of the idea of this movie. One of the, I think... Robert Zemeckis was in he was like looking through his parents. I'm looking at the poster to make sure I get the name right.
Oh yeah, the director Robert Zemeckis.
It's either Robert Zemeckis or Bob Gale. Hey, I have the full cast here. I don't need IMDb. One of them opened up one of his parents' yearbooks from high school, and he just kind of thought like, what would my parents be like in high school? Would we have gotten along? And then you see this movie,
would I have made out with my mom?
Maybe.
But when
he had a real Oedipus complex.
You start thinking, like, what would I do? Like, if I went back 30 years and had to, like, meet my parents or whatever, like, how would I try to blend in? Would we get along? You start to think about it and relate it to yourself.
And Robert De Niro's there, and he's like,
hey, you want a Pepsi? You're going to pay for it.
I was going to.
You want a Pepsi?
I was going to use future dollars.
Want a Pepsi? Want one of these Pepsis? You're going to have to pay for it.
Do you take half dollars? Who's this guy on it?
That's good. You get a point, James.
Awesome. For my Robert De Niro impersonation.
Well, excellent.
Anything else we wanted to hit on before we rate this sucker?
I wanted to hit on...
Me?
I have some audience comments
on Lorraine. I wanted to hit on Lorraine.
I kind of wanted to hit on Lorraine, too.
She's not your mom. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was sorry. I was a little too enthusiastic. Yeah. Damn right she's not my mom.
Oh, wait, she's not?
Hell yeah.
Except in the universe of this movie, she's like 77 right now or something.
Yeah. Still smoking hot.
If we don't have anything, I'll close out the discussion with a...
Is that a picture of a baby?
I'm opening up my Facebook feed, and of course there's a baby at the top of the feed. Babies. We can close off the discussion with the question I asked the audience a couple weeks ago.
Our
cold open.
Cold open.
A couple weeks ago, I asked you, who would you take with you on a time traveling adventure? And Ryan Radley Lawley, who may be our best, I think he's our best commenter because he comments the most. So
thanks, Ryan Radley.
And also thank you, Ryan Evans. He said he would like to take his kids back in time so they could meet their grandparents. I guess they don't know their grandparents. But that's a good noble answer.
That's a good reason to do it.
Y'all said who you would take back. I don't know who I would. I should have answered my own question.
Can it be me? Can you get that sex change and go with me?
I'd have to bring someone back who can speak Spanish, because if I go back in time, my parents spoke Spanish.
I feel like you're just dodging my question.
Wait, you don't speak Spanish?
Can you speak Spanish?
I can understand it.
Steven, you don't speak Spanish?
Not fluently enough. I'm semi-fluent.
How dare you? I don't either.
I think you and I could piece together enough
All
Spanish
right,
to
we'll
get
team
by.
Up. And you don't have to do a sex change operation.
Yeah, because you are. Perfect.
Even in my situation, yeah. I have to. Yeah. What are you going to do? Should we move on to ratings?
Yeah, let's do it. Who wants to start?
Michael, this all started because you hadn't seen this movie. Why don't you start us off?
A minus.
Okay. Cool. You want to elaborate?
No notes, or...
You want to explain the A minus?
No.
I mean, like, dated content.
How
like what about
dare
the,
you?
The fact that it takes place in the 80s and the 50s, or that it looks older, or the effects, or
no,
what
no, no. I mean like the feminist issues that I was talking about earlier.
Okay,
those are the script
they stole
the
from
script
Shaun
is
of
super
the
tight.
Dead
the directing is amazing. The set design, attention to detail, acting is great. All that, but I mean, just some of the stuff that to me is a little outdated.
Okay, like frames of thought.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's fair.
I'm gonna have to. I mean, like, I'm gonna rate it similarly. I'm going to give it an A, solid A, but I think it's unfair to rate a movie because it's dated, because that's something that a movie can't, you can't make a movie unless you make a movie ahead of its time to defend against that.
Yeah, you can only think so far ahead.
I think it's
well,
an unfair assertion.
That's why you have your criteria.
I'm just saying that I think that's an unfair assertion on a movie that was made in the 80s to have 80s mentality.
I would still give it an A minus.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it an A.
Good.
Because I think that it's just about as solidly built a movie can be in terms of, as we said, pacing. The score is phenomenal and I think is iconic, unique to almost a fault. Like, I couldn't never imagine listening to this with anything else. You were saying, was this John Williams? It's Alan Silvestri, but I feel like that's the only other person who maybe who could pull off this movie.
And Huey Lewis.
And Huey Lewis in the news, of course.
Don't take money.
Don't take fame. Don't take no credit card. I'm giving this movie an A.
All
right.
Nice.
I'm going to give it an A as well. I think... as James was saying, it's very solidly built, but I think that's even doing it a disservice calling it solid, because on top of this perfectly balanced and exciting screenplay, you have all these great elements that mesh together so well, and it's funny and heartwarming and exciting and action-packed. I don't know.
It's
just a super fun movie, and I think it's amazing. A for amazing. There it is.
Michael, you were talking about how there's no strong females. And I was about to be like, well, would you like a movie where the daughter travels back in time and has to team up with her mom? And then I realized that's the second and third and fourth season of Sailor Moon. anyways, this movie is...
Spoilers.
Yeah, solid's not even strong enough a word. I think this movie's airtight. Like, all the setup and how those setups pay off, it's amazing. And for me, you know, the first five or six times I watched this movie, I was catching on more and more of those details every viewing. Ridiculously fun, memorable scenes, amazing musical score. I can't really think of any faults unless you start diving deep into time travel paradoxes, which any time travel movie encounters.
I feel like the reason I didn't give it an A plus was because it's pretty campy.
I think it works amazingly. Like, Doc Brown is campy, and it is so funny. Yeah. I have to give it an A plus.
The movie doesn't seem concerned about worrying about
the science
time travel.
Yeah. It's about the situation that time travel led you into.
Yeah.
And then getting back. It's not like Interstellar, where the science fiction is a big part of the plot of that movie.
The science fiction is probably the biggest part. Like, probably more even than the characters.
Of Interstellar? Yeah. So what does that average out to? That is an A. Awesome. Good job, Back to the Future, as I point to my movie poster.
Yeah.
It knows what it did.
So what are we on to now? Is it the moment I think we're leading to?
I don't want to start saying it. I don't want to do it prematurely.
The
Rock?
Dwayne Johnson.
Is great, and he's going to make us do a...
push-up.
What?
And if you did a lot of push-ups, that would be very
strong.
Good for your body.
And if you had a good body, you could tackle more
people in football.
Yes. I agree.
Challenge. Everybody on Meerkat just threw up.
It's the challenge. It's time for the challenge.
So this is the part where we really reel it in with the points we're giving out. And whoever wins this challenge typically has the most points and gets to pick the movie next week.
Woo!
So this week, your challenge is based off of the scene where Marty dons his spacesuit-looking radiation suit, scrambles George McFly's brain with Van Halen, and tells him that he is Darth Vader from planet Vulcan, and implied that he tells him you have to date Lorraine or else I'll scramble your brain. So
Lorraine, or I'll scramble your brain.
Whatever. So let's pretend like we shifted this movie 30 years in the future. He starts off in 2015 and travels back to 1985. And you are Marty McFly, and you are going to scramble your teenage father's brain. What musician is going to scramble the brain, and what current pop culture references are you going to use that he wouldn't understand? So we're going to just do our own versions of this scene, and we're going to do it three times. Who wants to start off as Marty? Okay, so James, you're going to start off as Marty. Kay. Who wants to be the musician?
I'll be
the music. All right, Ryan, you're going to start off as the music.
And so
I'm confused. Okay, so I'm Marty.
You're Marty. I thought I was going to
be the musician.
Oh, you can be a musician.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, who wants to be Marty? I'll be George? All right, Ryan's
so
Marty.
My part's easy this time.
Okay, yeah. And George, you just have to react. You know, make me laugh. Okay. The musician gets to pick the music. That's how you're going to start the scene. It's pantomime James. With the headphones.
Alrighty.
Marty only has to worry about the pop culture references.
Got headphones on, Michael.
Okay. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Here we go. Here
okay, there. Yeah, perfect. We've got production now.
You're asleep, though.
Look at this photograph. Every time I hear it makes me laugh.
Who are you?
Look at this photograph.
Oh, why does it sound so repetitive and terrible? Scooby-Doo. Oh my god. Oh.
My name is David Blaine, and I'm here to wow you with my street magic.
What is this card?
Look at this photograph of something, and I got my snatch.
It's just the three clubs.
Now it's gone.
When?
Now I made it disappear with my street magic.
Oh, I thought I just dropped it.
And I'll make you disappear if you don't ask Lorraine out to the enchantment under the sea dance.
Okay, sure, whatever. Can I just go back to sleep?
Look at this photograph. I like doing fuzzy math.
Okay. All right, I'm going to divvy out points each thing because it's a lot to keep track of. James, you get 3 for that. For
yeah.
A,
all right.
You're sticking to that line, but B, also not remembering what the second line
is. I don't know. Fuzzy all I remember is look at this.
That's all anybody remembers.
All I know is look at this photograph.
But to be
like,
fair,
shit, I don't remember
that's,
the song.
That's all anyone remembers because you turn off the song after that. You're like, I'm done with that. I don't want my brain scrambled.
I was going to do like Eddie Vedder, but then I realized that it was kind of like the same inflection. So fuck it, I'll do Nickelback.
All right. Ryan, you're going to get 2 points for that. Love the David Blaine. And Michael, you're also going to get 2 points for that because you played along with it and even brought out the, where'd I get this card? So that was very good improv, I thought.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
So let's scramble this. Let's
go around.
Let's all just rotate clockwise. So okay. That make
I'll be the musician.
I'm now Marty.
No, you're.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
you're
now
George.
George. Okay.
I'm,
cool.
I'm the music.
Somebody's gonna have to. Hold. So who's I'm in 85, right? So he has knowledge of things up to 1985, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Okay.
I'm now George McFly. Wow, that's weird. This actually kind of sound cancels a little bit.
They're nice headphones.
No? Yeah, like this.
Talking to the mic, James.
Talking into the mic, of course. I was like, I've got so many things I'm doing.
Only one of them is
recording this.
I'm recording and I'm just fine. All right, let's start the scene.
All right.
Who's the musician?
Me.
Okay.
Hipster girls, shake your ass. Hipster girls, shake your ass. Hipster girls.
Who are you?
I am Darth Vader, but from Darth Vader from Revenge of the Sith, not the one that you know.
What?
From Return of the Jedi and Empire.
I'm
Darth Vader.
Oh, okay.
I'm from the planet Vulcan, but from the J.J. Abrams remake
right,
of Star
of
Trek
course.
That came out in the late 2010s.
I don't know what that is. I only know the one.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm from a different one. So.
Oh, okay.
You
cool.
need to ask Lorraine out to the dance.
Why?
Because I lost Padme and it was heartbreaking. You also
Wait,
don't know about
who
that
the fuck
yet.
Is Padme?
Padme Amidala. She was my one love. And I don't want you to go through the same thing.
I don't recall any of that.
Ellen DeGeneres. Oh Ellen DeGeneres. I look.
It hurts some. Okay. Thank God. Thank God that's over. Just I'll do anything you want. Just please don't play that again.
I kind of like it.
Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres. I think I look like Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres.
My hair's. Why can't I take this horrible machine off?
Hipster girls, shake your ass. Hipster girls, shake your ass. Hipster girls, shake your ass. Hipster girls, shake your ass.
I'm going to call it and sing. Okay. Is that a real song? Who sings
Apparently.
That?
Lil B.
Oh, wow.
If you're
honestly, I would think that would scramble my brain. I've never even heard of that.
It's because there's no AC in here.
Well, I turned off the AC because of sound.
Well, yeah.
Michael?
Now we've got sweat.
Yeah.
You know me too well. Not only did you go, I was kind of hoping someone would go the reboot route because we really haven't invented anything new since 1985 movie-wise, except for Independence Day. You're going to get 4 points because of that, and you also brought Padme into the mix, something he actually would have no knowledge about. James, you're going to get 3 for playing really well along with it. Like, no, yeah, I get it, but I haven't seen that movie. And, you know, going along with the music. So you get 3. Ryan, I'm also going to give you 3.
Okay.
If I had heard that song before, but I haven't. It's such a ridiculous song, and you picked one that is appropriately like,
Ellen
yeah,
DeGeneres.
Like I could listen to Nickelback. I could get through a whole Nickelback song if I haven't heard one in a while, but I would shut your song off immediately.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
It's a great song.
Ah, shit. Why didn't I go with Friday by Rebecca Black?
See,
God damn it.
Hopefully that wasn't Michael's choice.
No. All right.
No, it wasn't.
This is the last rotation, so who's who now?
I guess
I'm the music.
And
I'm Marty.
I'm George.
Shit, what year did Terminator come out?
Oof, that's a good question. Was it 87?
Yeah.
Shit.
You gotta look this up, man.
Wait, no, that actually is good. Then I can still be the Terminator, right?
Well, I don't know for sure. I think it also might. It's either 87 or 84. We're gonna do a quick Google. Does everybody
We can just go with it.
Yeah, we'll just go with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll say I skimmed it by...
Maybe he hasn't seen it. Maybe it's so new.
Yeah.
It was 84. So he, you know...
Yeah.
It's not 2015 where you can see it on Netflix.
Or
you know.
Also, it wasn't like a... you know, a huge.
Hold on, you're going off this whole thing on the assumption that George McFly doesn't get out to the movies every now and then.
Or like sci-fi stuff.
All right, let's do this.
He clearly likes sci-fi stuff.
Shut up, man. You're ruining my thing.
Okay. Your Pandora playlist will come back right after a word from our sponsors. This summer, Kia has a...
Take Lorraine out to the dance if you want to live.
What?
You heard me, bitch.
Special summer savings event only at your neighborhood Kia.
No, God.
How you like that, huh? I don't know where this accent is from.
I paid for a subscription. Why do I still have ads?
Because, damn it, we need to make our money somewhere.
It go, let it go.
Why is this on this my station?
That one was actually kind of catchy. I'm sorry, that just slipped in.
Why Anyways, is this on my name, Nickelback station?
My name is the Terminator, and I come from the Twitterverse. Listen to me. You've got to take Lorraine out to the dance, the under the sea dance, if you want to survive. Get her to the chop, I mean the dance.
Should I go with Lorraine if I want to live?
That would also be preferable. Thank you for wording that in a more accurate manner.
You got it. You feel free to use that one if you want.
All right, I will. Now, one more time.
Do you want to build a snowman? Sexy snowman.
You've got to admit that's actually pretty
it's
catchy.
It's so popular and catchy.
I mean, it's understandably popular, so.
And scene.
That was horrible. The worst Arnold Schwarzenegger accent, I think, of all time.
It's okay, though. He had a Disney Pandora station on.
Yeah.
How long till Disney owns the Terminator, too? It's only a matter of time. Yeah. Fox already lost Star Wars. Terminator's next. James, we'll start with you.
Oh, boy.
Not the best. You kind of sort of saved yourself, but I think it was too late. You waited way too long to say, I'm Arnold. I'm from the Twitterverse. Because up to that point, as far as George McFly knows, a big muscular man has just broken into his house. Really, that's what he is.
Marty! A big muscular man broke into my house and threatened to kill me.
He changed me. I felt something.
I'm not going to ask Lorraine. I think I'm going to ask John out.
No.
No. I've done more damage.
So you're only going to get 1 point for that.
Man.
Let's see. Michael, you're going to get...
It was a pretty horrendous
You're going to
accent.
Also get 3... for being very smart with how annoying the Pandora ads can be, and then also with how Frozen, again, like, yes. I mean, yeah, they would just play that. Like,
let's
why
capture
is this,
this decade in a bottle.
Yeah. And then
Got
let's see,
decade?
Ryan,
I hope not.
You're going to get 2 because you...
I think you did a pretty good job.
Well, you also... it's so dependent on your... I don't know. I don't think you gave him quite
well,
as much. I'm going to give... Okay,
James
I'll give
sucks.
You a third. I'll
Ryan
give you a third point.
God, now you're
because
giving a
James
tie.
Didn't, because James didn't give you enough to work with. But you worked well... What I was going to say before is you worked well with when the Frozen started. And you were like, this is understandably catchy.
Man, you worked well with that shitty job James did.
You can take the point away. I don't want to beg for points.
Oh.
Oh, wow. I don't need your charity.
That's very honest. All right. That's very honest of you, Ryan. Plus 1 point. Don't give him a point because we'll apparently get a tie.
Okay. Well, then it's me.
What's the final score?
Really?
Yeah.
10-9-9.
God damn it.
I really want to build a snowman.
We already watched Frozen.
You weren't here for it.
Oh.
But that doesn't mean you can pick it.
That's actually the one podcast I haven't been here for.
All right, so Michael wins.
Yeah.
I was on a roll there for a bit, but...
But then I fucked it up.
How?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like this round. Or are you
no,
talking
he
about...
No, he meant like a
winning general. I've won the last 2 cycles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My apologies. I didn't realize.
You ruined this all.
You really should
this whole thing, James. It's all your fault.
Well, I'm going to make my pick. But Morty, what are we doing here? Listen, Morty.
Hello, Rick.
I don't know what we did. We just landed on this podcast.
Oh, you killed them, Rick. You killed them all.
I don't know what to do, Morty. Maybe they can just watch or take this DVD, watch our first season. I'll figure it out. They'll be back next week.
We're gonna watch Rick and Morty season one in its entirety. 11 episodes.
I was very confused and aroused by what was going on off camera. But now that we're using camera.
So are our like 5 or 6 Meerkat viewers. Hi guys.
Oh hi.
How about that?
Wait, who hasn't seen Rick and Morty?
I've seen half of the season.
Okay. No one has.
I've seen the whole first season, but I guess James hasn't.
Seen the whole
we're
first
de-rocking
season?
James.
Yeah, we're de-rocking James.
We're half de-rocking me, please. Okay. I've seen half of the season.
Whatever, it counts.
Okay, don't.
It's like,
don't,
all right.
Remember how I didn't quibble for points? You know? Come on.
I'm a quibbler. In fact, that's my title.
You're a...
McDoodle's the quibbler.
You're a...
Morty.
Oh, you're back.
Sorry.
Nothing rhymes with quibbler. I was trying to think of an insult.
Quibbler... Nibbler from Futurama.
Hey,
Futurama. Proper
hey,
nouns.
You need to shut up. Look,
oh, Rick, go easy on him,
Morty. We need to find Dick Nixon. We lost him. Have you guys seen Dick Nixon?
I don't even know what's going on.
I am a time traveler.
You've already won.
There he is. There he is.
I'm out of here.
Just grab Dick. Just put him in the thing, and we'll go. Let's see you motherfuckers next week.
All
right, good stuff. I'm a huge Rick and Morty fan.
Looking forward to it. Michael, you have a question our audience should answer?
Oh God.
If not, we can go to something else.
Rick has so many amazing futuristic gadgets. If you could have one gadget that does anything, what would you want a gadget for?
From the show or just make up a gadget?
You invent your own gadget.
Your imagination's the limit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could do any specific thing.
I already know my answer.
But it can only do one thing. It can't be like a Swiss Army knife of technology.
I got my answer.
Great.
I want to say season 2 is starting up next month.
It is. Right. Yeah. It is. So this will be very timely.
Cool.
Sweet. This will be a chance for me to catch up.
Yeah. So...
Excellent. So check out Rick and Morty, season 1. Write us in, fuarock@gmail.com. Tweet us at fuarockpodcast. Check out our Facebook.
Facebook.com/fromunderarock.
If you enjoyed us, if you Meerkat viewers enjoyed us, check us out on iTunes. This podcast will be coming out on every Tuesday. And we have a challenge video going up every Thursday. On youtube.com/hyperdrivepix.
Sounds
good. That about cover it?
Yeah.
I think
sure
so.
Subscribe and leave us a rating on that iTunes.
And a good rating.
Not like a shitty
we'll
one.
Well, no.
Don't just go 1 star, would not recommend.
Yeah.
Like, do at least 5 stars if you're going to write do not recommend.
Is there anything else happening on Hyperdrive this week, Steven?
Well, 3 of us went to, last week, Professor Puppet and Mark Gray was on our set. On our podcast, and he helped us out. So we went to his, Michael James and I went to his shoot at the YouTube space, and I had a lot of fun. I got to run camera.
It was a good time.
What did you guys enjoy?
I mean,
we were only there for background.
Yeah, we showed up late and then didn't really have anything to help out with, and then we got on screen and then left before we could help tear down.
So ultimately, we were just dicks. But we have overnight shifts. Like, that's nothing that we can...
Pity us.
He understands. But it was fun. It was fun. I mean, I love shooting at the YouTube space. And
yeah, it was cool.
I mean, we all got to do some cool stuff.
It motivated
there,
me to get to work on
you, you were immediately like, right there, you're like, I have sketch ideas.
Yeah,
and you start talking. I mean, you always have sketch ideas, but you were like, Mark, I have an idea for you to be in this and then this and that and this.
Well, I'm also always doing that. I'm like casting things that I'm never going to make all the time.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. So we had a lot of fun collaborating with Mark, and we'll let you guys know when that episode goes up on his channel. And we actually filmed some behind the scenes, and that'll go up at the same time on our channel, so you guys can see some of the fun stuff we did.
Perfect.
It was an amazing set. Yeah, so that's what Hyperdrive has been up to.
All right, you guys want to go around for one last roll call?
Okay, I'll start. I'm James McNally, a.k.a. McDoodles.
I'm Michael Ornelas, a.k.a. Mike Bourbon.
Not Mick Bourbon. You're McDoodles. I'm Mike Bourbon. Watch your ass.
I'm Steven Zarita, a.k.a. Steven Stupin, Suburban the Burbs, Suburban Zarita. I said Suburban twice.
The Jerk.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us.
Hold on. Listen, we got to go, but we just want to tell you that it's been educational. Thank you
wow,
for joining
that's
us.
That's the worst way you could describe us.
That was that, a no, quote straight out of Back to the Future, you son of a dick.
I mean, that's not an incorrect phrase.
Guys, thank you for joining us on another episode of
From Under a Rock.
The like, what's the term?
Geological
entity, not
the musical.
Not Iraq.
Iraq.
Yeah.
Not Dwayne Johnson.
Not either. Dwayne Johnson. We cover that almost every week. Not the musical genre.
Hi, y'all.
So if people say when things are really cool, like, you. Man, this rocks, can you be like, man, this country's, because that's another
that
musical.
Oh, my God. Please cut it before that.